"Ahoy there!" Bagman called happily. He was walking as though he had springs attached to the balls of his feet, and was plainly in a state of wild excitement. "Arthur, old man!" he puffed as he reached the campfire. "What a day, eh? What a day! Could we have asked for more perfect weather? A cloudless night coming, and hardly a hiccup in the arrangements. Not much for me to do!" Behind him, a group of haggard-looking ministry wizards rushed past, pointing at the distant evidence of some sort of a magical fire which was sending violet sparks 20 feet into the air. Percy hurried forwards with his hand outstretched. Apparently his disapproval of the way Ludo Bagman ran his department did not prevent him wanting to make a good impression.
"Ah, yes," said Mr. Weasley, grinning. "This is my son, Percy. He's just started in the ministry. And this is Fred—no, George, sorry, that's Fred. Bill, Charlie, Ron, my daughter Ginny, and Ron's friends Hermione Granger and Harry Potter."
Bagman did the smallest of double-takes when he heard Harry's name, and his eyes performed the familiar flick upwards to the scar on Harry's forehead.
"Everyone," Mr. Weasley continued, "this is Ludo Bagman. You know who he is. It's thanks to him we've got such good tickets."
Bagman beamed and waved his hand as if to say it had been nothing.
"Fancy a flutter on the match, Arthur," he said eagerly,
jingling what seemed to be a large amount of gold in the pockets of his yellow and black robes.
"I've already got Roddy Pontner betting me Bulgaria will score first. I offered him nice odds, considering Ireland's front three are the strongest I've seen in years, and little Agatha Timms has put up half shares in her eel farm on a week-long match." "Oh, go on, then," said Mr. Weasley. "Let's see, a galleon on Ireland to win?"
"A galleon?"
Ludo Bagman looked slightly disappointed, but recovered himself.
"Very well, very well. Any other takers?"
"They're a bit young to be gambling," said Mr. Weasley. "Molly wouldn't like—"
"We'll bet 37 galleons, 15 sickles, 3 knuts," said Fred,
as he and George quickly pooled all their money, "that Ireland win, but Victor Crumb gets the snitch. Oh, and we'll throw in a fake wand."
"You don't want to go showing Mr. Bagman rubbish like that," Percy hissed.
But Bagman didn't seem to think the wand was rubbish at all. On the contrary, his boyish face shone with excitement as he took it from Fred, and when the wand gave a loud squawk and turned into a rubber chicken, Bagman roared with laughter.
"Excellent! I haven't seen one that convincing in years. I'd pay 5 galleons for that."
Percy froze in an attitude of stunned disapproval.
"Boys," said Mr. Weasley under his breath, "I don't want you betting. That's all your savings. Your mother—" "Don't be a spoilsport, Arthur," boomed Ludo Bagman, rattling his pockets excitedly. "They're old enough to know what they want. You reckon Ireland will win, but Crumb'll get the snitch? Not a chance, boys, not a chance. I'll give you excellent odds on that one. We'll add 5 galleons for the funny one, then, shall we?"
Mr. Weasley looked on helplessly as Ludo Bagman whipped out a notebook and quill and began jotting down the twins' names.
"Cheers," said George, taking the slip of parchment Bagman handed him and tucking it away into the front of his robes.
Bagman turned most cheerfully back to Mr. Weasley.
"Couldn't do me a brew, I suppose. I'm keeping an eye out for Barty Crouch. My Bulgarian opposite number's making difficulties, and I can't understand a word he's saying. Barty'll be able to sort it out. He speaks about 150 languages.
"Mr. Crouch," said Percy, suddenly abandoning his look of poker-stiff disapproval and positively writhing with excitement,
"he speaks over 200. Mermish and gobbledygook and troll—"
"Anyone can speak troll," said Fred dismissively. "All you have to do is point and grunt." Percy threw Fred an extremely nasty look, and stoked the fire vigorously to bring the kettle back to the boil.
"Any news of Bertha Jorkins yet, Ludo?"
Mr. Weasley asked, as Bagman settled himself down on the grass beside them all.
"Not a dicky bird," said Bagman comfortably. "But she'll turn up. Poor old Bertha. Memory like a leaky cauldron and no sense of direction. Lost, you take my word for it. She'll wander back into the office sometime in October, thinking it's still July."
"You don't think it might be time to send someone to look for her?"
Mr. Weasley suggested tentatively, as Percy handed Bagman his tea.
"Barty Crouch keeps saying that,"
said Bagman, his round eyes widening innocently.
"But we really can't spare anyone at the moment. Oh, talk of the devil, Barty!"